Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Really stated she wasn't the victim.
Right.
Yeah, so. It's a Trump factor.
It's just the Trump
people
factor.
People hate Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, maybe he should have kept it in his pants.
Oh, like he's the only president that hasn't.
I'm not saying, I'm not talking about planet. Any other president, LB.
Like hey, LB, you're right. He's the only president. He's the only president who couldn't keep it in his pants. Speaking of Gina Gershon, I'd like to send a message out to her. She blocked me on her phone. I'd like to send a message out to Gina Gershon. Oops, wait a second. Hillary's here. Hillary's out of the country. You know, she's attending a wedding in India, which is the most expensive wedding, perhaps, in the history of weddings. The guy, this guy is the richest man in India.
Yeah.
And they say he's, we were talking the other day about Nick Jonas getting married.
Yeah.
And what that guy spent. This guy is spending $100 million on this
what
wedding.
Idiot.
On the wedding that Hillary's at. What? But they say that Hillary is out of the country because there's going to be testimony today to Congress by some Clinton Foundation whistleblowers who apparently may allege that there were some kind of misdeeds associated with the Clinton Foundation.
So she leaves Bill behind. Bill, you can't come. You weren't invited. Stay here.
They don't even talk, kid. Please. Two separate sides of the house.
Speaking of foundations, Gina Gershon's got a pretty strong one up top. I don't know if you... Yeah, but... Yeah. Well, you know who showed up yesterday at the sentencing?
Mm-hmm.
The attorney who represents Stormy Daniels.
Of course.
Michael Avenatti, who apparently didn't have much on the schedule legal work-wise. And here's what he had to say.
Michael Cohen will report to federal prison exactly 1 year after we filed the case on behalf of Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen was sentenced today. Donald Trump is next.
Oh.
Now,
good luck on that one, guy.
Here's a text that says that guy is spending $500,000 on the wedding. And $99.5 million is a donation to the Clinton Foundation to have Hillary at the wedding.
Great.
Now, here's a text that says, yet nobody in the news reports that Stormy Daniels has been ordered to pay the president.
Mm-hmm. Like $300,000?
$300,000.
Yeah. Is that the lawyer's fees?
Yeah.
Are those Michael Cohen's fees?
Right.
Try and collect.
But yeah, if you bring a case like that and you fail, then oftentimes you end up having to pay the other person's legal fees.
Trump's lawyers had requested $389,000 in legal fees, but the judge said, and I'm sure this happens often when it comes to lawyers, the number of billable hours was excessive. So he cut it by 25%.
We're going to round it down to 300.
You ever get a bill from one of these high-priced law firms? It's the most amazing thing. Like, they go through all the hours that the person worked, you know, and then at the end, they literally charge you, I kid you not, 45 cents for copies that somebody make in the office.
Really?
You know? Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
they list that?
Yeah, it's on the bill.
45 cents?
Yeah, it's on the bill.
Brenda, the paralegal, had to go in.
Listen, he's really going to jail. Michael Cohen's going to jail for not paying taxes. That's what he's going to jail for. Yeah. He's not going to jail for the, people want to say he's going to jail for the paying off Stormy Daniels, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to jail for the...
That's how they got Capone.
But I saw a headline on Facebook, and I didn't click through to the article. I swear that's what it said.
He died of syphilis. Capone, right?
Yes.
Al Capone died of syphilis, yes. It is 7:03, and this is WAAF FM and HD1 Westboro, Boston, WEEI HD2 Lawrence, and WWBX HD2 Boston.
And now, LB.
It's like you're a drug addict, but you're addicted to words. Like, stop. When I tell you the time is up, stop.
With a WAAF Sports Minute.
Brought to you by Dr. Matthew Lopresti and Dr. Robert Leonard. That was awesome. They are the hair doctors of yours truly, Rob Ninkovich, Wes Welker, and many, many other men and women. If you have hair issues, call 1-800-GET-HAIR.
Deep three. Yeah! John Wall came back and answered. Kyrie said, I got something for you, Mr. Wall. I'm just going to pull it from deep. Once again, nothing but the bottom of the net.
Big Scal, you got to love it. And that's CSM with the call. Kyrie drained 38 and was a beast in overtime last night. Sees roll for seven in a row, 130-125 over the Wiz down in D.C. The Atlanta Hawks are at the Garden tomorrow night. It's a 7:30 tip-off. My Bees are in Pitt tomorrow night, taking on Sid the Kid and Company. The Black and Gold hold down the top wild card spot this morning. Sox fireballer Joe Kelly is now a Dodger.
Is it official?
The hottie went to L.A. Yeah, he got three years and 25 mil.
I want to ask Mr. Baseball.
That blows.
What the repercussions are here for the Red Sox bullpen. So you're hoping, obviously, for a repeat, another World Series, and Joe Kelly ends up going away.
Mm-hmm.
You think that really affects this team? They got to find somebody to replace him?
Well, first of all, I'm amazed that the bullpen, with the bullpen they had, especially the way they performed in the second half of the season, they were able to win the World Series.
Yeah.
And Joe Kelly was great in the postseason. So, yeah, that's going to hurt us. Unless, you know, Dombrowski's got something down the line.
Up his sleeve.
Yeah. We need bullpen help. And, yeah, I'm really bummed out about this.
Huh. All right.
Well, things are going to get rocking and rolling at the winter meetings. You know,
I hope
nothing
so.
Happens on
I
the first, so. Like, 3 days. And then when they're on their way out, everybody's, like, you know, pulling the shenanigans. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Pats are in enemy territory Sunday at 4:25. Big Ben and the Steelers will go down this weekend, and it'll be win number 10 for Brady and company. College hoops, BC beat Columbia, UMass lost to Temple. Tonight, BU has Dartmouth. Number 11, Texas Tech, 79, Northwestern, 44. Number 22, Houston, 82-76 over LSU. Number 19, Wisconsin, takes on Savannah State tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm LB. That's an AF Sports Minute. Merry Christmas.
All right. Thank you, LB. It is 7:06. Tomorrow morning show coming to you from Bach Maserati. On the Auto Mile, it is our annual Toys for Tots live broadcast. We have been doing this with Santa Bach for a long, long time, and I hope you can join us tomorrow morning for free breakfast and several special guests. And, of course, all we ask, the price of admission, if you will, is a new unwrapped toy or two for the Marines who will be with us tomorrow morning as we broadcast from Bach Maserati. And Santa Bach will be there, and every year he puts a lot of gifts for you on the Bach Christmas tree, and that includes tickets for the sold-out private event that he is doing tomorrow night with the Stone Temple Pilots. So
right.
At least one of you, and maybe more, if you're in the Christmas mood and you're nice to Santa Bach, maybe more will attend that event, that special benefit show with Stone Temple Pilots for Ernie's Foundation. But we'll see you tomorrow morning. We will be there from 6 to 10. And I feel like I'm going to have to run out today and get a new ugly Christmas sweater to wear to wear tomorrow. I wore the only one that I have last year, and I don't.
That was a good one. Was that a Sam Adams?
It
one?
Was the Sam Adams.
That was
one.
A cool.
Yeah, I don't.
A cool shirt.
I don't want to wear the same outfit to twice, Danielle. You know how that.
I know. I mean, Instagram would have a field day with it.
Yeah, you ladies know how that goes.
Is it possible the dry cleaner shrunk it?
Oh no!
It does. I think it still fits.
Look at that major dick.
Yeah, I haven't.
You can't throw a sweater in the dryer, people. You know, you lay it on top of the washer. Right.
I haven't been running as much as I was last year at this time. So there is a story in the news today of bad pizza and wings rage. And a man who did what many do when they are not enjoying a meal at a restaurant. He ate nearly the entire thing.
Of course.
And then he went to demand that he not be charged for the meal that he didn't like, that he ate 7/8 of. And when they wouldn't give him his money back, he flew into a rage.
A complete rage. Noah Ellis is his name. This happened in Ashtabula Township, Ohio. JD's Pizza employees had to call the police because Noah Ellis went on a rampage saying that the pizza and wings that he ordered sucked. Now, he had already eaten half the wings and all but two slices of the pizza. Oh,
yeah, it was so bad.
On.
Hey, listen, we've learned on this show, one of the rules of this program, one of the mottos that we stand by is there is no such thing. Pizza and sex are the same. There's no such thing as bad sex, and there's no such thing as bad pizza.
Agreed.
But they didn't want to give him the money back. This is like, if you work in the restaurant industry and you're listening right now, this is a pet peeve of a lot of people who work in restaurants, is that somebody will complain about their meal after they have consumed the whole entire thing.
Right.
And I get it. I mean, you know, if you have an issue with it, what are you going to do? Wait for them to cook a whole new meal for you? But I don't know. Are you entitled to a refund if you ate the whole thing? That's my question.
No.
I say no.
You say no?
No.
Just come back and tell them. I get the time thing, but at least give management the chance to make it right instead of, you know, ahead of time.
Yeah.
Or just let them know, be like, hey, I'm willing to eat this, but I'm not psyched about it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Can you do anything for me? Don't go with the end after you've already thrown all this stuff down your gullet, you know?
Yeah.
We have some of the 911 call that was placed.
What's going on there?
I had a customer come in here and just threw food all over the place. Now he's fighting my delivery driver. It's all over the counter and me, and I have a customer in here. They were mad because I wouldn't give them back all of their money.
He's physically fighting your delivery driver?
Yes.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Somebody else's pizza's going to be late.
978 text. Obscure reference.
Yes.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh.
And I believe we have that scene for you right now.
Breakfast I ever ate, and I'd like my money back.
I believe you have to fill out a form for that.
No, I'd like my money back now.
I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You see, I have to fill out a form, and, well, you ate most of it already, so...
Look, just put your little hand back in the cash register and give me my $2.75 back, please, Brad. I am so tired of dealing with incompetence.
It says 100% guaranteed, you moron.
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Is that when Brad works at the pirate place or?
No, that was the All-American burger.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes, yes, yes.
The pirate thing.
And then he went to the pirate place and the hot chick looked at him while he was delivering
Nancy
food.
Wilson.
And he was wearing the pirate hat.
All right. Well, that is a story of bad pizza and wing rage that is in the news this morning. And great. Now I have to have pizza and wings for lunch. This is Brian on the Framingham Ford studio line. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, kid.
Hey, yo, Bri.
Hey, Sue. Happy Winger Day.
Is it Winger Day?
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Wow.
Hey, Greg, I get two quick comments. First, you would look awesome in the new Thanos Christmas sweater that says 50% of you are on my naughty list.
Ew, that's awesome.
Okay, yes, I shall get it. Yes.
And you know what? In regard to if someone in your party gets, you know, the meal is bad or it's prepared wrong and it goes back, that uncomfortableness of whether should I start eating or should I watch my wife glare at me while I'm eating while she's waiting for the meal.
Yes, yes. I mean, there are people who will, I think if you've never worked in the restaurant service industry, then you can be, I'll describe it as less than understanding. I think every person ought to work in the restaurant service industry at some point, so they have an understanding of what goes on.
Yes, 100%.
You know? I used to wait tables and bartend at Bullfinch's in Sudbury in my early 20s when I was only on, I only had a weekend program here at WAAF. And I was a fantastic server. Uh-huh. Let me tell you, fantastic bartender, fantastic server. Of course, Mrs. Hill and I met when I was bartending when I was bartending at the Weston Racquet Club.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And she worked there. But if you I'm always shocked by people who want to send their, like, they'll send a steak back because it's slightly off temp.
The worst.
And would you rather, I mean, me, I'm just going to eat the thing and be like, all right, it's medium rare, it's not rare, fine, I'm just going to eat it. And I'm always shocked by people who send it back. But, you know, people they're paying a lot for their food, so they should pay where they want it.
I don't even care. Unless it's like a 200% screw up, just eat it.
Just eat the thing, right? That's what we do. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to your Hillmail voicemail messages at 8, but before that, it is Stowe 5-0 coming up at about 7:30 for the final time this year. Well, you think it's bad living here in Texachusetts. In just a moment, we will learn what one state is considering putting a tax on, which may be the final straw. And I have used the term straw purposefully when it comes to this state. Here's a texter who's trying to start trouble. 978 texter says, Greg, I heard you visited the Gibbet Hill Grill in Groton the other night.
Yes, I did.
And I... Earlier this morning, I apologized to Nancy Know-It-All. I had heard, when I called there to make a reservation, the individual answered and said Gibbet Hill. And so Nancy Know-It-All yesterday was right up in my grill saying that the G is soft. It's a soft G, not a hard D like the one in Daddy. Answer your question, I did. And we had talked yesterday about the... I think it came up because of the meatloaf or something.
Yes, the meatloaf.
It's a great wedding spot. I've been to a couple of weddings up there.
Or something like that. Yes, yes.
The barn at Gibbet Hill.
Yes.
Can we change your nickname from G-string to Soft G?
Soft G.
That just sounds pretty.
I don't know if I want that as a nickname or not. Yeah. I don't know, but yes, great restaurant. And, you know, as I don't like to talk about this on the air, but, you know, just treating my marvelous employees to a holiday dinner. That's what I was doing the other night.
To buy the apps.
On the boss. What do you mean on that? Well, it was a time, but took care of the whole thing.
My gosh.
Everybody was allowed one drink and no apps.
No salad.
Just an entree.
Okay.
That's what I said. So I do the holiday dinner thing with the managers and all that, and I said, you know, the entrees here are very big, so you probably don't want to buy any.
Appetizers,
or you don't want to do any of that. Don't buy any extra stuff. In about a half an hour, the governor will be here one more time this year for breakfast with Baker, and I'm wondering if the governor will pull an LB and go to the old studio. I've informed him a bunch of times that we're in the new place, and I think they're probably on top of
it. People are on top of it.
He's got two troopers that know exactly where
they know
they're
what's going on.
Yeah, those guys are professionals.
I want to thank you because so far you have donated $38,466 to the Greg Hill Foundation for the family of fallen Worcester firefighter Christopher Roy. Of course, you can still continue to donate when you go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That is thegreghillfoundation.org. And you can also go to any paper store location. Once again, the paper store is stepping up and supporting the foundation and the family of firefighter Roy. And you can donate at any paper store. And they are matching your donations up to $10,000 by the end of the day tomorrow at the paper stores. So now, in California, they are debating whether or not to institute a new text that would affect anybody who is sending a text message.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm sorry. Text with your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. In order to text with your phone, you'd have to pay a tax on it. Now, here in Massachusetts, here in Texachusetts, the governor will comment on this, I'm sure, when he comes in. They have found a lot of things to tax that I don't necessarily think there should be a tax on.
Yeah.
However, California...
What?
Puts us to shame.
Oh my God,
unique ways to figure out how to pork the constituents, the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. And now they're debating a tax on texting.
That's insanity.
Can you imagine? The reason they're doing it is to provide phones for those who can't afford them. It's probably to provide iPhones for those who are struggling with a flip phone or something like that. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to tax the techs so they can get phones for the people who can't afford them, so they can tax the people who can't afford the phones
correct.
For their techs.
There you go, yeah. Mike. Sure.
Yes.
See, all you Android people, you always want to come up and be like, oh, you know, we've had that technology that iPhone just came out with for like 10 years. Yeah, we have iMessage, and you can't tax iMessage because it's not a text message.
So basically you're going to tax the people who have worked hard enough to be able to afford a wildly expensive phone,
yeah.
and so that everybody else who's not working can afford a wildly expensive phone.
Right.
This is really going to kill a certain generation who does everything over text. It's probably going to affect a lot of the social media influencers who need to be texting the company where they got the latest beauty product from.
Well, like when I have to talk to my Fit T rep about the sponsored post I'm going to put up. I'm sorry. I'm really like choked up about this today. Because like I think it's just, I mean, if they want to tax like the meals that like the fat people eat and their sodas and
okay
like processed, you know, GMO foods, like that's fine. But this is like, and this is obviously legislation that's done by like your generation, because you people don't understand, like my family can't wrap my head around the fact that like this is my job, like Instagram is my job, okay? And it's really unfair, because now it, like thanks to this idiot in the Oval Office, I can't even deduct business expenses anymore, and now this is going to be like an undue burden, and I don't care about poor people that don't have phones.
Oh, wait a second. I thought you did.
They can't afford to buy what I'm selling anyway. Like, when I sell my FabFitFun box and use my promo code ThatOtherChick10 to get 10% off your subscription, and I get a kickback, but nobody realizes that because they don't look into it.
So, a text, like a tax on text messages. Can you imagine how that would affect every single one of you who is listening right now if they dared to do that here in Massachusetts? By the way, if it works in California, Democrats in our legislature you'll get Jamie Eldridge immediately saying that we can tax the rich texters so that everybody can have a brand new iPhone.
What are we going to go after the vegans?
What do they have to do with this?
They don't do nothing and they're healthy. I'm taxing you on your healthiness.
This is Ed. Hello, Ed.
Morning, everybody.
What's up, Ed?
Now, I don't get it. We buy the phones. We pay for these unlimited plans.
Yes.
Now they're going to tax us on something we already paid for?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yep.
I can't imagine. My daughter is constantly texting, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can't imagine. What, you know what they should do? They should only tax misspellings.
Oh, God, yes.
All right? They should have some kind of algorithm that finds the misspellings. Okay, well, you're getting a tax on your misspelling text. Yeah.
Here's somebody who says, I would be in favor of taxing excessive emoji users.
Oh, come on.
There are some. No.
Yes.
That's
I agree.
Just being succinct.
No, right. I agree.
Why say a sentence when I can send you the face?
You're dumbing down America.
You know?
Tax it.
What is that supposed to mean? You know what it's supposed to mean.
I'll tell you, the worst is people who use an emoji as a substitute for a word just because they have the emoji.
Right.
Like somebody will say, I am, you know, the text message would be, I'm flying off to Vegas, mm-hmm. but instead of flying, mm-hmm. they put the plane in there.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's we get it. Maybe it's because they don't want to type the extra word or something. I don't
know. It's so hard to type plane.
But that's what the emojis are about. They're fun. You know, like I send every morning, I send Annie the smooches.
The smoochy face, yes.
The smoochy face, yes. And the heart, and then the poopies for Will. Right.
And then she goes, who is this? They both go, Will goes, what? Who is this person?
All new right. phone, who does? New dad, who does?
It's 7:33, and coming up, the governor will be here at 8 for Breakfast with Baker. We'll play your Hill Mail voicemail messages. Back before that, the Red Sox will not have Joe Kelly to push around anymore. He has taken a deal with the Dodgers, and that is going to cause consternation by those who have been concerned about the Red Sox bullpen. So you can leave a text message about that. We talked during the 6 o'clock hour about how the hashtag Real Tree Team is in desperate trouble this year because somewhere between 70 and 80% of households, millennial households especially, are on Team Fake Tree this year. So those who are selling the real Christmas trees are in trouble. You can leave a Hillmill voicemail message about that or any other topic. This is Chris. Hello, Chris.
Yeah.
Hey,
how we doing, boys?
What's going on?
Kid? Merry Christmas.
Hey, the texting tax, I think it's pretty pointless because all the kids and everybody's doing the WhatsApp and all these other texting apps instead of actual text messages over the service.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, the question that begs to be asked, who is really going to pay for this? It's probably going to be the parents who are still paying the phone bill for the 25 to 30-year-olds. That's who's really getting taxed here. All right, we got to get, there's a Mantown crisis that we got to get to.
And now, WAAF's Hillman Morning Show presents Mantown in Crisis.
Well, gentlemen and ladies, the Foxy Lady has been ordered closed.
What? After decades. After decades of providing entertainment for the New England region, the Foxy Lady in Providence has been ordered to close. Why? What happened?
Prostitution charges against three of the ladies that work there. As you mentioned earlier, Greg, evidently there was sex happening in the champagne room, which we know is verboten.
Shocking.
Yep.
At a strip club?
Who thought this kind of thing was going on?
I know.
Who's
been asleep at the wheel for 100 years?
How long are they shut down for?
Well, supposedly until today, they're doing a licensing hearing with the Board of Licenses. What happened was about a month or so ago, one of the dancers reported that she had been assaulted in the VIP room by a male client.
Yeah,
so the police looked into it, and then during the course of their investigation, they realized that some other things seemed a little sketchy.
Right.
So they had a few undercover officers go in.
Hey, kid, working undercover for the Providence PD.
Officer Byers, kid, reporting for duty. Reportedly, one dancer told an officer that for $300, he could have, quote unquote, whatever he wanted for a half hour.
That's code. That's definitely code.
Yep.
Okay.
Another one reportedly groped an officer, said for $100 they could have sex. The law enforcement agency has shut down the Foxy Lady until further notice.
They had great legs and eggs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They started it.
Yeah.
No disrespect, but I think I want the $300 one, not the $100.
$300. Change my tires.
All right. Well,
it's an institution.
It has been an institution.
You know, just legalize everything already.
Absolutely. Did I see the governor walk in earlier?
Was that just his detail?
Oh. Well, open that door, and Danielle, real quick, and look out and see if he's here. Because we might get a please. Oh, my God. Did she just say please? Is he here? Not yet. Okay. Oh, he is here. All right. So tell him we're going to do Stowe 5-0, and then we'll have the governor early. It'll be 2 minutes. Okay. All right. It is 7:37.
Bad boys, what you want?
And now, following the man and woman of law enforcement.
A caller on Great Road reported that a resident was leaf blowing
on the dangerous streets of Greg Hill's hometown.
A caller on Walnut Ridge Road reported that a turkey with only 1 foot was in her yard.
This is Stowe 5-0.
All right, turn this up for the state police guys who are with the governor, so they know what it's like to go to work every day and not know what you're gonna face. I promised, because it's the end of the year, that we would real quickly go over what your favorite Stowe 5-0 story was from the past year. Do you have one, Shu?
I was fascinated by the story and the mystery of the red bicycle
that
was left on a gentleman's lawn. Not yes. once, but twice.
Twice, yeah.
Not knowing where it came from or whose it
yes.
was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn yeah. you kids.
Danielle, did you have a...
I think for me, my favorite one would have been, and I'm pretty sure this was this year, the gentleman who called police after he saw an individual on the home surveillance tape and then later realized it was himself.
Yes, yes it was
that
himself.
Was on the top.
Yes. LB?
Mine's the Sea-Doo.
And
what are they doing on the lake?
Oh, yes.
You know, drive those things on the street.
Yes. I think mine would be the woman who called the police in a panic with regard to a very young baby that was in a vehicle, locked in a vehicle in the driveway. And then when the police arrived, she realized that it was a dream.
Right.
And then it didn't actually happen. All right. Well, a quick look here at some of the terrifying crimes that were either walked in or called in to my hometown police department, the Stowe PD, over the last week, thanks to the Stowe and Bolton Independent newspaper. And on Monday, December 3rd, at 12:44 p.m., a caller from Walnut Ridge Road reported that a raccoon was in her yard and it could not stand on its hind legs.
Oh, well,
hit by a car.
The police responded and the animal did not appear to be sickly. So everything was A-okay over there.
All was okay with the raccoon.
This is fantastic here. At 3:30 p.m., a caller from West Acton Road reported that his ladder had fallen while he was working on the roof. The police and the fire responded, and the man was assisted off.
Thank God.
Off the
roof. That's terrifying.
He's got nobody else to call.
Phone,
right?
Well,
it could be a three-story.
Maybe nobody was home.
It could be a three-story. One-story jump off.
Yeah, this isn't a ranch.
Two stories, maybe. Right, three stories. 911.
At 3:57 p.m., a car was seen dropping off a 9-year-old child at the police station and then driving away.
What?
Oh, my God.
An officer located the child at the employee entrance. A short time later, the driver, the child's mother, came back.
Oh.
And she explained that she dropped the girl off to use the restroom and then drove away to teach the girl that she should not swear at her mother.
What?
Yeah.
The old, I'm taking you to the police station.
Right? Please don't do that. It gives kids a bad image of the police. Right? Don't do that, parents.
It's a little aggressive.
Yeah, come on.
All right. Well, that's Stowe 5-0 this week. Last one for the year.
Wow.
Coming up next, it is Breakfast with Baker, the governor of the Commonwealth, in our studio to answer all of your and our questions. That is next.
Hey, what's going on? This is Bill Burr. Keep feeding your kids fluff and keep listening to the Hillman Radio Show here on WAAF.
Coming up at 8:35 this morning from one of my new favorite television programs, Escape at Dannemora, we will be joined by the actor David Morse, who is from here and plays the corrections officer who is, I think, getting suspicious. So that is happening at 8:35 this morning. Right now it is 7:51 and time for this.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Welcome to Breakfast with Baker with the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, on WAAF.
Well, let me welcome our governor to the new studio. And
I feel like I'm on Planet Claire.
It's weird, right?
It is.
We're used to it. We moved up, but we were in the other place for a good, 15 years.
Right, 18, I think longer
20,
than 18.
20 years or something like that. And here we are on Leo MC Birmingham Parkway in beautiful, safe, Brighton, Massachusetts. How are you?
I'm doing fine. By the way, I think David Morse played a correctional officer in a previous movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are correct.
The Green Mile.
Yes.
I think he also, I was going to say The Rock. Did he also play one in
The
Rock?
Was he one in The Rock too?
I don't remember him in The Rock, but I definitely remember him in Green Mile.
Yes, you are right about that. You are absolutely right about that.
He's a heck of an actor.
Well, congratulations on we haven't spoken to you since the election. I do believe at one point you had sent me a text saying I'll call you on the show, slipped your mind. But it's nice, a second term, and I know you're happy to
four
be
more
doing,
years, that's right.
Happy to be doing what you're doing.
No, I am. Both the lieutenant governor and I are incredibly grateful. that the people in Massachusetts seem to appreciate the work we've been doing, and we asked to get re-upped, and they said okay.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the difference between learning early on election night that you win and the difference between learning the day after the election that you won,
yes,
which was true in 2014, makes a big difference.
A little, little less anxiety.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Although, although I will say this, the turnout in Massachusetts in that midterm, in many respects, like the turnout around the rest of the country, was very high. It was the largest turnout in a non-presidential election ever in Massachusetts.
What are your? I know you haven't done the big speech, which you'll do in
January 3rd.
January
will
3rd.
Be the big speech. Yeah.
Speaking of that, last time I attended, I was up in the kind of up in the top of the at the very back of the statehouse.
Danielle and I were at home on the coach.
How does the seating work? Like, how are the seating assignments? How does that happen? Who does that? Is that you, or could you ask somebody if I could be moved down a little closer to the action? I mean, I can barely see.
Donate.
But anyway,
I will make sure that the appropriate people contact you with respect to that,
okay,
Greg.
Thank you.
Governor, you're not writing it down as you usually do when you look into things on the show.
Yeah, because he's going to be new phone who dis on that. You haven't set out the course of action over the next 4 years.
We talked about a bunch of things during the race. I obviously want to continue to build on the work we've done on the opioid epidemic.
I was going to say, is that your number one priority?
Well, look, it's still... We're one of only a handful of states, I think six or seven states, that actually saw a drop in overdose deaths in 2017, and that drop has continued in 18. But it starts from such a terrible place to begin with that we have an enormously long way to go. And the big challenge, and it's not just here, it's everywhere right now, is fentanyl, which is not just a heroin issue. Fentanyl is a cocaine issue. It's a methamphetamine issue. It is literally everywhere, and it's present in about 90% of the overdose deaths in Massachusetts, and it's present in the vast majority of the overdose deaths everywhere in the U.S. And it's very cheap to make. A lot of it comes from China, and it's a giant challenge for everybody in law enforcement and government and treatment, the works. And that's going to continue to obviously be a big issue for us.
For the first time yesterday, Governor, we learned that a doctor in Massachusetts, a Dracut doctor, will be charged with manslaughter. Do you feel like that is the way this should go in the future?
Well, I think all I've seen is the news reports on that. But the news reports, the facts presented in the news report imply that this person knew that the patient that they were prescribing to had already overdosed several times and clearly had a problem with addiction and continued to write significant prescriptions for this stuff. And that obviously speaks in some respects to just a complete lack of appreciation for what was going on there. And I think the Attorney General, who's pretty careful about this stuff, she wouldn't have pursued this unless she thought she had a case. And I have said before that I wanted to see legislation passed. We filed a bill to make manslaughter or to make drug trafficking, if somebody died as a result of an overdose, punishable by manslaughter. And
that includes, that'll include doctors.
Well, it would.
It should.
And we didn't get that law passed the last session. Maybe we'll get a shot at it in the next one. But I certainly think people need to understand, if they're distributing this stuff in a wanton way, they need to understand that there are consequences.
This is Ronnie. It is Breakfast with Baker with the Governor, last one of 2018. Ronnie, how are you?
Hey, Governor. Good morning.
Morning, Ronnie.
So, Governor, I'm a big fan of yours. I think you're doing a great job. I have to say, I was looking forward to voting on the ballot to decrease the sales tax from 6.25 to 5%. And I was looking forward to your support like prior campaigns, but I know you and the legislature came up with something different. But I was wondering, you didn't fight for the 5%, you know, just to help consumers and small business. I think it would relieve us a bit from the high taxes in the state and just bring more simplicity for everyone. So do you think this is something you'll push for again in the future?
I certainly think that the sales tax is one of those items that we should be talking about And come January, we'll definitely be talking with our colleagues in the legislature about it. For a lot of the businesses that operate along the northern border, it's a huge competitive disadvantage.
This is Tony on the Framingham Ford studio line with the governor.
Good morning, Governor.
Morning.
With winter, with the cold weather and winter approaching, there's 1,250 steel workers still locked out from National Grid. There's two bills going into the state house, one to extend unemployment and one to pass on health care to National Grid and make them pay for it until the lockouts ended. Do you support those bills?
Yeah, I've said before that depending upon how those bills are written, there are issues. There are legal and constitutional issues, but that we supported conceptually the idea that that these folks do need to be supported. And I anticipate this is something the legislature, we've given them guidance on a number of the issues that were raised in both bills, and we anticipate this is something the legislature will try and get done in the informal session. We've also been very aggressive about encouraging Grid to get back to the table with the union, and it's my understanding that starting today, both sides are planning to meet every day.
Every day. That's
and
good
I'm hopeful
news.
That
because
yeah. What people really want more than anything is for the lockout to end.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the and we put a moratorium on National Grid and basically said you can't do anything other than statutorily required work until you figure out a way to get these folks back to work, because